Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Jake Lyman, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Rex Road out on vacation. He will be back next week. So I got Lyman with me this week. I got Connor Newt at some point later this week. A lot of things going down this week here on the program. We'll take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025. Emma Lingen will be with us at 7:30 from the hockey news. And Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock coming up for his weekly visit. And, Jake, speaking of hockey, the NHL draft later this week. Obviously a huge moment coming up for the Predators. They're going to stick it. Well, I shouldn't say they're definitely going to stick at number five. They're making a top five pick. I'll put it to you that way. We'll see if it's at five, if Barry Trotz at the last minute finds some way to move up. I kind of think that's unlikely at this point, but we'll see. But either way, there's a huge pick coming up for the Predators later this week. So in terms of the actual NHL draft part of it, we'll have later this week to kind of get into the weeds with that, because there's going to be some interesting options, no matter how it falls, that are available for them at number five here. So we'll get into that a little bit later this week. I threw this question out on Twitter, X, whatever, over the weekend, and got a lot of different responses to it. So I am interested today to hear what Predators fans think and how they view this. So the question I threw out, I think it was like Saturday afternoon, was basically, as you're looking at the Preds offseason that is beginning basically now, and it's going to be hot and heavy over the next couple of weeks when it comes to the NHL draft. There will be trades that are made, and you've got free agency coming up next week as well. All that's right around the corner. So what would you like to see the Preds do? Who would you like to see the Preds target that is within the scope of realism? So I'm not saying, like, everybody jump on the phone line today and be like, well, it's time to go get Connor McDavid right now, because that's not happening this offseason. But who would you like to see them do, or maybe what strategy would you like to see Barry Trotz take? And Jake, I got a ton of responses to this that basically was everything from, I would really like to see them not do anything and just start tanking and be bad next year and continue down that process, to, I mean, there were people that listed out about seven or eight moves that they'd like to see the Predators make this offseason. So here's how I view this. You know, we've had the discussion about the timeline the Predators on and what exactly is the actual path to being competitive here. And I think, frankly, right now it's a really difficult question to answer, because they don't seem all that close to me to competing for an actual championship. Having said that, with where they're at with their roster and with the old guys that they've got in their core forward group right now, and then you factor in Yossi on the back end and certainly the Saros contract, to me, the defining question of this offseason, when you take the NHL draft part out of it, is, can Barry Trotz find a legitimate centerman? Is that possible? Because if that's not possible, Jake, like if he's looking around and he can't find a centerman that can come in and immediately play in the top six, and not just play in the top six, but be a legitimate difference maker in the top six, if you can't find that this offseason, then I don't know that there's a huge path to you being very good next year. And as we have discovered, that's probably the hardest thing in the NHL to find, is one of those guys that could come in and play that role.
Right, and especially when you spent all that money last year to get Stamkos, to get Marchessault, to get Shea, you're not going to be quite as aggressive this year when it comes to free agency. Now, they do have lots of draft assets. If somebody came available via trade, there's no shortage of picks that Barry Trotz could throw together. I believe, what, three first-rounders, two second-rounders coming up this weekend?
They got a lot of picks.
Lots of picks. So maybe that's the way to do it, but I think you're right that is the key, obvious, number one need for this team, is you got to get a centerman for those top two lines. And then I think the rest of what the Preds probably can do is kind of just shuffling the bottom half of their forward lines and the defensive pairs. There's not a whole lot you can do because of the big contracts that you signed last year and You've already got a lot of older guys on this roster. Unless you can go make a big trade, you probably are just looking for maybe some lottery ticket guys, some guys who maybe weren't as good in other places but could have been high picks in the past and still have some talent. So I don't know exactly how much Barry Trotz is going to be able to do this offseason, but you're right that if he can't find a centerman who can step in on one of those top two lines, I really don't think the Preds are going to be all that much better this year.
Well, let me be clear. I don't think that centerman is coming via free agency. Like, there's just, frankly, not a lot out there. You know, people are going to bring up Sam Bennett. That deal in Florida is going to get done. I mean, I'd be stunned if he's not back in Florida next year. You know, the Athletic has come out with their free agency big board here over the weekend, and I'm looking at the top five. You know, one is Marner, and I don't think the Predators will or should be involved with that. Bennett's at two. He's not getting out of Florida. Brad Marchand's at three, and I think with where he's at in his career, the Predators just make zero sense for him. And honestly, like, if you're the Predators, as good as Marchand was in the playoffs, like, you're talking about a 37-year-old forward. They got enough late 30s guys right now that are on their roster. I don't know that you necessarily need to go add another one. So those are your top three right there, and I would put the chances of the Predators landing any one of those at just about zero. So that's what you're dealing with. The fourth one is interesting because they've got Aaron Ekblad on defense listed at number four. And a lot of my responses on Twitter that I got to that question I threw out this weekend involved him. Of, if you're going to do it in free agency, go get a defenseman in free agency to pair with Yossi or Shea or whoever, however you want to structure it. And that could be your big move this offseason. I don't necessarily hate that idea. I'm really interested to see, number one, if Ekblad gets out of Florida, if they let him go in free agency, and number two, if he does, what exactly is the money that's going to be tied up there? Just because you've got significant money tied up in Yossi, and now, you know, how much longer is he going to play? I don't know. There's a lot of things going on with Yossi right now that are going to be interesting to find out over the next year or two. Brady Shea is going to be here for a while. He just signed him to a long-term deal last year. So do you want to commit like another high, high dollar amount on defense right now? Or is that a spot where you try to maybe nibble around the edges, get somebody on the way up that's not going to be quite as expensive, maybe go into the second or third tier, a defenseman in free agency, and see if you can strike gold there and try to do things maybe that way? They're going to sign somebody on defense. I'd be stunned if they don't, just because like that defense needs some surgery done to it, and I think there's going to be enough options out there for a right shot defenseman.
Dante
where they
Fabbro.
Sign one of them. Yeah, there's Fabbro. You know, I think he'd be comfortable here, wouldn't he? I think it'd be maybe something you could take a look at. But they're going to sign, I think, one defenseman at least. I keep coming back to center, and it's going to have to come via trade. Like, it's coming via trade or via offer sheet if you're adding a centerman to your roster. So that, to me, is the quick fix for Barry Trotz. Can you find a game-changing centerman? And kind of in the background of that, can you repair your defense core enough to where it is not a total tire fire like it was a year ago? Because people, I don't think we talk about that enough. Like, their defense was horrendous last year.
Yeah, it was not good. And some of the growth could come from within. Like, you were missing Spencer Stastny for a good amount of last year, and maybe he's able to come back and get the full offseason and hopefully be better. But you're right. I think it's pretty obvious those are your two needs. And is there a top-level center out there? I mean, not in free agency.
Most teams don't let those guys go.
Right. It's like,
it's not impossible, but most teams don't let those guys go.
It's like talking about the Titans trying to find a tackle in free agency. It's like, if there's a tackle worth having, he usually doesn't hit free agency. So I don't know exactly how much better this roster can get in one offseason. I think a lot of the growth, if this team is going to be better, is going to have to come from a lot of the guys already on the roster.
615-737-1025, our phone number. So, Preds fans, we throw it to you. What would you like to see the Predators do? Who would you like to see the Predators target over the next couple of weeks here, be that in free agency or via trade. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End, bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap, which, by the way, sounds amazing. Grab a $30 gift card for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Emma Lindgren will be with us at 7:30 from the Hockey News, and we'll get her thoughts on the Preds offseason coming up here in just a few minutes. So we've thrown it out there. What moves do you want to see the Predators make within the scope of realism over the next couple of weeks here as it relates to Barry Trotz trying to put some surgery on this team and revamp things heading into next year? Now, we were talking in the break, Ian, about their defense core right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it this way. You've got Yossi and Shea that we know are going to be here. Those two guys are going to be here, and they're going to be in your top four. Beyond that, I think they really like Justin Barron. I think they like the way that he came on at the end of last year.
He's a right shot.
And he's a right shot.
So could you,
frankly, they need those guys.
Could
right
you
now.
Pair him with one of those guys?
Maybe.
Would that be a reach?
I would say it's probably a reach, but right now I don't know if they've got a whole lot of choice in it. Beyond that, so those are three guys right there that I feel like are going to be on the team. Willsby, I like. I think Willsby, one of the really unfortunate parts about last year, beyond like everything that happened last year with the Predators that was unfortunate, was the fact that Willsby did not get to play more down the stretch because he was hurt.
Got hurt.
Because I thought he was pretty good. And I also took notice, like we took notice of a lot of things that Jonathan Marchessault said at the end of the year. But like Marchessault also in his end of season press conference went like out of his way to talk about Willsby. He's like, that guy's pretty good. Like he's a good NHL defenseman. So I would assume that he is also going to be a guy that's on the team and playing. Well, that's four guys right there. That's not factoring in, you know, Spencer Stastny, what's that going to look like? Jeremy Lauzon was hurt for basically all of last year. So, I mean, he's under contract, so what's he going to be doing?
Willsby and Lauzon are both lefties.
Yep, they're both lefties. And then there's Molendijk as well.
Also lefty.
He's also a lefty, but I think a lot of Predators fans are expecting slash hoping that he's going to be on the team this year. So if you break it down that way, there are not very many spots left. I wonder, do they trade one or two defensemen to try to maybe package something together here? And if not, how aggressive are they at bringing in another right shot guy? What's that going to mean for Molendijk? What's that going to mean for a guy like Blankenberg, who played probably a much higher role than he should have last year with them? Like they do have some guys that are intriguing on the back end here. I think they have to have at least one guy that comes in that is not in their organization right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it probably doesn't have to be a big name. Like you were mentioning Aaron Ekblad from Florida. I don't know if you're shopping in that category of player. But, yeah, they do have a lot of good players. But do you know exactly what you're going to get from some of those guys? Is Blankenberg going to be able to sustain that for another season? Is Molendijk going to be able to come in and make an immediate impact? So I do think you have to go shopping a little bit in free agency, but maybe for a guy that is more of a depth piece and can compete with some of these other guys once you get to camp coming up later in the fall.
I got a lot of thoughts on the text line here saying the Predators should go after Noah Dobson. We've talked about that before in terms of a right-handed shot, maybe via trade that you could bring in on defense. Skyler says, I just want the Preds to go younger. After this past year, I could see another year like next year. Begin bringing in young guys to take over the next two or three years. No more old pawpaws. You know,
it's a handful of them in free agency.
It's a handful of them
Ryan
in free
Suter,
agency.
Come on back, baby.
I mean, wouldn't that be something? I mean, Barry Trotz does have the opportunity to do something pretty funny here.
That would be hardcore.
Suits, get on back in here, buddy. Finish it off where it all started here. That'd be something.
Pull a Dan Hamhuis.
You know, as Gover points out on the text line, they do have another prospect named Andrew Gibson, who is a right-handed shot.
That's true.
And they really like him. I think their long-term vision involves Molendijk and Gibson potentially playing together on defense one day. I don't think that Gibson's ready to play in the NHL right now. I would say that's probably a little bit of a leap for next year, but maybe we'll see what happens on that front. I did like the way that he looked in camp last year, and I think he's got a chance to end up being pretty good for them. A lot of thoughts on the forward part of this on the text line, too. And basically the response is, it's just going to have to come via trade, and there's so few options that come to mind when that's the case. Like, Jake, we talked about, you know, when Florida won the Cup last week, I got to thinking about it. And there's a ton of reasons why they have been as good as they've been the last couple of years, from coaching to the aggressiveness of their general manager, and they've got a staff that really pours heavily into analytics, and they make a lot of their decisions that way. And clearly, they've got a formula that's really, really good. You know, Bobrovsky's played well in goal for them when it matters in the playoffs, and they have played him a little bit less in the regular season to get him to the point in the playoffs. Barkov is an unbelievable player. Like, he's probably still underrated. And all that plays into it. But to me, like, they have won two championships and been to three finals in a row because Matthew Tkachuk totally changed that organization. And they got him via trade, and it came basically out of nowhere, and he became available, and they struck. The Predators, to your point, Jake, if a situation like that comes up this offseason, they have some assets where they could potentially do that. The problem is that doesn't happen every offseason, right? Like, those type of guys don't become available every offseason. So is it going to happen this offseason?
Yeah, that's the question. With Florida, they traded a guy who looked like he was one of their franchise players in Jonathan Huberdeau to make that trade happen. So I think you would have to – it would have to be a big trade, and you'd have to give up a lot of assets. But as I've seen in the YouTube chat and on the text line, you need a top-line center at some point. And usually the easiest way to do that is to be bad, right? Like, be bad enough to pick at the top of the draft when there is a top-line center available, like we've seen the last couple of years with Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini. This year there isn't – like, Michael Mesa is probably the best one, but you're probably not in position to get him.
Yeah, he's not going to make it to you.
Unless you make a move up. So you have to look around and see if maybe there's somebody out there in a trade that you could get. But like you were saying earlier, those guys aren't made available very often. It would have to be a very specific scenario where a team is willing to deal somebody that you believe can be your top line center for the future.
Here's what I keep coming back to in all this. And this is why it's going to be, this is why the next week or so, week and a half, 2 weeks, as we enter into all this, is going to be really interesting to watch for the Predators. You know, I hear Barry Trotz talk about, you know, wanting the roster to get younger, and I have no doubt that he does, and I think we'll see some steps taken towards that next year. I also, like, I can't help but go back to some of the things that their veteran players talked about at the end of the year, specifically with, like, a guy like Stamkos, and he talked about, you know, the messaging from the front office and the messaging from Barry Trotz not being willing to get into, like, the rebuild or taking a step back or anything like that. I think there are some fans that want that, and I'm not even necessarily saying that that's wrong based on how bad it was last year. I'm saying, like, if that was the plan that was communicated from Barry Trotz to guys like Stamkos and Marchessault and all these, they wouldn't be here. They would be demanding to get out.
Yeah.
Now, so that's why I keep coming back to, I have to believe that Barry Trotz has at least communicated to all those guys some sort of plan that he's got to get them back in a spot where they're competitive next year. Now, how well is he going to be able to execute that plan? That's an entirely different story. But that's why I think this next week or two has a chance to be so interesting for the Predators, is because I just can't believe that Barry Trotz has not told those guys, hey, I've got a plan here, and now what's he going to do to try to execute it?
I do think Barry Trotz is going to try and make this team competitive this year and try and make them a playoff team this year. But I remember listening to Barry Trotz when he first got this job, and he did say, sometimes you have to take a step back to take two steps forward. That was he was trying to ease the fan base into the idea that the next couple years might not be great. And then the team went on the long point streak back in 2024 and made it to the playoffs and kind of accelerated this. And Barry Trotz said, you know what, if this team can make the playoffs with that roster, Imagine what they can do if I go all in and make all these moves. And I think that did set the franchise back a little bit because Barry Trotz was setting up to maybe take a rebuilding stance. And the fool's gold of that long points run has led to them going all in and trying to compete right away.
Let's quickly head to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Hey, the deal was if we add more pieces like we did last year, I don't think Burnett got those guys to play on the same page all year. If we do that again, are we going to go through the same year that we did last year? I think Trotz should have made a coaching change. And then because there was no way. We were a better team, a lot better team than what we played last year.
Well, I hope. If not, they're in big trouble if they're not a lot better than what they were last year, to your point.
Exactly. And my thing is if we add new players and he can't get them on the same page, then we're in for a long year again.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate it. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I think the Chargers' best option to try and get a first-line center this year would be call San Jose at the beginning of the draft. I know we're having this centralized draft, which I really hate, and see if they would be willing to move up that second overall pick if the Islanders take Matthew Schaefer first overall, which everyone thinks he's going to do. Because Sharks need defensemen. They don't need any more forwards. They've come out and said it multiple times. They're only looking at defensemen. Nashville's got a plethora of defensemen they could possibly choose. And then it might include Molnick if it was comes to worst. But you're looking at getting your top line center that you desperately needed your whole franchise to get. And let's face it, this free agency class is as bad as the draft is this year. So there's not much out there.
Yep, thanks for the call, Ryan. And we'll see. I mean, Barry Trotz has not been afraid in the past to try to move around in the draft a little bit. To this point, he's not been successful in doing it. So we'll see if that changes later this week. I mean, to Tim's point, if they make some significant moves and they start as slowly as they did last year, I mean, I have to think at that point the coach is probably gone. So, and then the question becomes, can a new coach come in and salvage it at that point? But regardless of if they make a ton of moves or not this offseason, the first 10 games, I mean, they're crucial for Andrew Burnett. Like, it's hard for me to imagine them struggling out of the gate for the first 4 weeks and him keeping his job. Like, it's even with as patient as the Predators are, it's hard to imagine that. So we'll see what happens on that front. Emma Lingen from the Hockey News will be with us coming up next. We'll get her thoughts on all this. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Jake Lyman, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Looking ahead to the Preds offseason, which could be very interesting over the next couple of weeks. And to help us do more of that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Emma Lingen to the program from the Hockey News and the Locked On Predators podcast. Emma, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Emma, this is, as you know, a very tough team to figure out in terms of kind of where they're at and where they could be headed next year. And I keep coming back to, you know, things that I've talked about with you before and some other people just of this offseason. Is there an actual path for them getting back to being a team that's not only, you know, a playoff team next year, but as a legitimate contender? Does that path exist? It's hard to get there right now based on where their roster is, but is there anything that Barry Trotz in your mind can realistically do over the next week or two here with whether it's trade, offer sheet, free agency, whatever, to get them back in that category? Or is that too tough of a hill to climb in one offseason in your mind?
Well, after the season that just transpired, anything feels like a bit too lofty of an expectation for next year. But I think that, you know, if we're being realistic about it, I think there are some things that can be done. I think it starts, though, with shoring up the defense. I think you have to address the defense because that was a huge problem. I mean, everything was a huge problem for the Predators last year, but I think that, you know, when it comes to trades, free agency, offer sheets, shoring up specifically the right side of the defense is going to be really critical. I think that's obviously not something that you're necessarily going to address in the draft, at least, you know, not that's going to have an immediate impact. But I think that that's where sort of the focus should be this offseason.
Speaking of the defense, we went through some of the names a minute ago, and, you know, obviously Yosi and Shea and those two we know are going to be here. Beyond that, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. You've got Barron, you've got Blankenberg, who came on last year, Willsby, who got hurt, you know, Lazan was hurt basically the whole year. So they've got guys that I think could be intriguing heading into next year. I'm also with you that I feel like they've got to bring in at least one major piece that's not on their team right now. So what do you think all of that with where they're at right now with their defense means for Tanner Molendijk next year? And is he on this roster in your mind?
I think ideally, you know, in a perfect world, you don't want Tanner Molendijk to be on the roster. And that's only because, you know, that would mean that they're in a much better place and a much, you know, much closer to contending if they don't have him on their roster. But I think that, you know, realistically, it's going to depend on how he does in camp, how, you know, like whether they decide that they want to give him, you know, sort of a like an audition at the NHL level. I get a little wary of, you know, for specifically a defenseman, you know, jumping straight from junior to the NHL, just because defensemen tend to take a little bit longer to develop. So, you know, that's just kind of how I feel about it. Now, that's nothing against Molendijk himself. And I think that if he has a really good showing at training camp, I think he absolutely could be, you know, could find himself on this roster next year.
Emma Ling joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Emma, draft coming up this week, and the Preds have plenty of early picks, five in the top 55. Even if it's not moving up in the top five of the draft, could you see Barry Trotz being active and trying to use those picks to move up maybe in the first round or back into the first round with those 3 or 2 seconds that they have?
It's possible. I just, you know, the thing about this draft class that I'm not really sure, you know, I think realistically, if you're Barry Trotz and you want to package those two later picks, you know, you're not moving into the top 10. So it's really more, you know, realistically, if you're packaging those two picks to move up, you're probably moving somewhere between like 10 and 15. And to be quite honest, in this particular draft class, I don't know that there's anybody there who is really going to be worth that, you know, worth like sending away two picks that you have later in the first round. And, you know, I just don't know that there's really a realistic path to moving forward because, you know, Barry Trotz could want to all day, but, you know, it's going to need a dance partner if he wants to do that. So I think it's, you know, depending on how, you know, how tightly these other teams are holding on to their picks as well. It could happen, but I'm not sure that's something I'd necessarily be banking on.
Emma, do you think 3 weeks from now, Jonathan Marchessault is on this roster? Do you think Jonathan Marchessault should be on this roster next year?
Oh, that's a loaded question, I think. you know, I think that Jonathan Marchessault could be and was, you know, a good piece for this roster. I think that he, you know, added an element of that sort of spice and sandpaper, both on and off the ice, that I think this team could use. The problem, or maybe not problem, but just something that became evident, is that when this, you know, this team kind of entered into this sort of leadership paralysis that Barry Trotz talked about earlier in the offseason, it's, you know, it kind of tends to be, well, if no one's going to step in and be the leader, it's going to be the loudest guy that everybody sort of gravitates to. And the loudest guy isn't necessarily going to be the guy that you want leading everybody. And I don't mean that as a knock on Marchessault himself. I just think that, you know, he was visibly very frustrated, very upset with the way things were going. And he had every right to be because, you know, things went horribly this past season. So I think that, you know, that led to maybe some discontent, some unrest in the locker room, not necessarily between the players. Like, I don't think there was any, you know, sort of drama like what we saw, you know, for example, in Vancouver with JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, nothing like that. But I think it's more just kind of like it contributed to the overall feeling of just discontent. That being said, I don't think that Jonathan Marchessault, I don't think at all that it's a given that he's going to be on, you know, that he's going to be off of this roster. I don't think that Barry Trotz is actively, aggressively trying to shop him around and say, all right, who wants him? But I do think that there need to be some pretty significant changes, specifically when it comes to the coaching and how things are run and how things operate to make sure this doesn't become a bigger problem for Barry Trotz.
Emma, obviously with the offseason coming up, lots of big moves are hopefully coming for the Preds, but does it feel like if the Preds are going to get back to being competitive this year that guys like Marchessault and Stamkos that they brought in last year and maybe some of the younger guys, they have to take that next step or get back to who they were, and a lot of the growth for this team has to come from within?
I think it absolutely does. I mean, you think a part of why this last season was so disappointing, it wasn't just the result. It was because on paper, this team and this roster was better than what the results say. You know, it would have been, I think, a little bit different if the organization had gone down the rebuild path and sort of laid it all out and said, hey, we're going to not be great for the next few years as we try to rebuild this thing. But they did the opposite. You know, they went out, added pieces that were going to help them win now. And that's what, you know, that's what was so disappointing, is that it didn't work. And at least it didn't work in the first season. And I think that, you know, when you look at the additions of specifically Marchessault and Stamkos, that was, you know, to Barry Trotz's credit, he, after the previous season, looked at the roster and said, okay, what's the, you know, one of the biggest areas of need here? Well, we need scoring. We need goal scoring. And he went out and added two, you know, prolific goal scorers. And they were fine, but they were not, you know, producing at the rate that, you know, they're expected to. And so that's, I think, what was such a conundrum about this team, because, you know, earlier I mentioned the defense and how that was an issue, but no one was, you know, I think that at the beginning of the season, you could have looked at this roster and said, ooh, I don't know about the defense, but I don't think anyone was looking at the roster at the beginning of last season and saying, where's the scoring going to come from? Like, yeah, who's going to score the goals? So I think that, you know, does it all fall on them? No, but I think that's going to be a huge part of that.
All right, Emma, last thing for you here, and this is a question that until there's resolution one way or another, it's going to be a huge one throughout the league. If you're Connor McDavid, coming off another final loss here in the Stanley Cup final, what are you doing this offseason? I've thrown it out there here on the show. If I'm him, I'm not signing an extension this offseason. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I wouldn't eventually go back to Edmonton and re-sign if I'm him. But I, if I was him, would leave every possible option open for me after next year and see what happens. That's the way I would handle it. How would you handle it if you were Connor McDavid? What do you think he does?
I 100% agree with you. He's eligible to sign an extension starting July 1st. I would not do that if I was him. Again, I think you've got to put some pressure on Edmonton a little bit, because if you're Connor McDavid, of course you would like to stay and you would like to win a cup with the organization that you've been with your entire career. But Edmonton now has proven that, you know, they haven't been able to do that. And this is, you know, we're talking a guy who can make upwards of, you know, $17-18 million once the cap goes up on his next contract. And, you know, like you said, you can test the open market and you can, weigh whether, well, do you, what's more important? Do you want to win a cup or do you want to win a cup with Edmonton? The issue is that the teams that have the kind of cap space that will be required to sign Connor McDavid are probably not anywhere near to anywhere near contending for a Stanley Cup. So at the end of the day, I'm not surprised if he does sign or re-sign with Edmonton. But I, if I were him, I would not do it this summer. I wouldn't do it once he's able to July 1st, because that's when you're, you know, when you're Connor McDavid, you're in the driver's seat. You have all the leverage and you can say, okay, if you want me to stay, you need to fix this, this, and this, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's the goaltending, whether it's the defense, whether, you know, it's coaching, I don't know. But I think that, you know, you're, if you're Connor McDavid, you're in a position where you have all of the leverage here, and signing an extension on July 1 would just take that away.
Totally agree. Emma, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Emma Lincoln, our guest here on the program from the Hockey News. We'll take your thoughts on what Emma had to say. We got the Rob rant coming up next as well. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
No!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Of course he is! It's like Joe Milton!
I have a feeling you eat a lot.
Yes, I eat a lot.
Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
That he's now getting targeted ads for gout flare-ups.
You know, I love my foods, but I'm Polish and I want a Polish sausage today. That's what I want.
Gout is mental. No, it is not mental.
Right now, I'm just worried about, could somebody get me a hot meal? I don't eat on game days. I need a hot meal. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. All right. But let me just go ahead and get this out there. This rant is going to make me seem so pompous. And I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. All right? I got a couple situations that have happened to me over the last few weeks that have really just grinded my gears. And, you know, I've figured out as I've gotten older that some of the big things that used to make me mad don't really make me mad anymore. Like, I've done a really good job, I think, of just kind of brushing those aside. But every now and then, there's like the world's smallest things that just set me off. And it's happened a couple of times over the last week in the same situation in two different places. So I'm pulling into the drive-thru of an establishment a couple of weeks ago. I deliver my order through the speaker. I pull up to the window to pay for said order. And they take my card, swipe it, have paid for it. And then as they're handing me my card back, they say, "Hey, by the way, this drink that you wanted, we don't have any more of. What else would you like?" Now, in this particular establishment, Jake, there's about one drink they've got that I like. So that's what I wanted. That's what I paid for. That's what you just swiped my card for. And you waited until after you swiped my card to tell me you don't have something. Boy, did that make me mad. So there's one situation. Number two, I walk into a local place, not a chain place, a local place, this past weekend, and I go and I say, "Hey," and I'm not going to name the place because I don't want to call these people out because largely they do a good job. But I walk in and I say, "Hey, I would like a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit." Lady takes the order. I hand her my card. She swipes it. And I mean, not 2 seconds after she hands me my card back and says, "Hey, so we don't have biscuits. We do have Texas toast. Is that okay?" To which I said, "Yeah, that's fine." In my head, I'm thinking, I wanted a biscuit. Couldn't you just tell me, I don't know, 5 seconds ago that you guys didn't have any more biscuits? Again, I am well aware that my level of insanity on this makes me look so pompous. But is it really that much to ask that if I'm paying for something, can you tell me that you're out of it before you swipe my card, not after you swipe my card? That's all I ask. And then I can make the decision as to whether or not I want to change something, there's something else I want to get. But the waiting to swipe the card and then telling me that you're out of it drives me absolutely insane. It makes me furious.
Especially immediately.
Yeah.
Right. Hand you the card back and say, oh, we're out of that,
yeah,
by the
like
way.
Yeah, like it's one thing if you just discover it in the aftermath.
Yeah.
There's
like,
no way
oh,
that
you're waiting
people,
for your order, yeah, and then all of a sudden they flag you down and be like, right, hey, we've run out of this. Like, is it okay if we swap it?
That I can handle. There's no way in both of these situations that I've just brought up that these people did not know beforehand. Because when I'm saying, I'm not exaggerating, I'm saying card handed back to me, and within the next half second, it's, by the way, we're out of this. It's like, you didn't know this before you just swiped this card? It drives me nuts.
No, yeah. I'm with you. That would frustrate me too, because they know this stuff, and when you say, I want a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, they should say, we're out of biscuits, but we can do that on Texas Toast.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's Texas. It's fine. Like, I don't have a
right,
huge problem
bad
with it, but I would just like you to tell me that you're not, you don't have something.
That brings us to maybe a larger issue at going on here that I've noticed lately about the lack of transparency up front when it comes to multiple things.
Oh, yeah.
Lately. Like, I think people would be way more understanding of the situation
if you just
lay it out up front.
Yeah.
You don't need to be secretive about it. You don't need to do this. That's what makes people more upset.
I agree.
Is when you get into the process, you've been told this, and then all of a sudden something else changes.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, if you just would have told me this at the beginning, knowing what to set my expectations and what I'm going to be expecting here, I would be okay with that. But there have been way too many situations lately where you get into something and then it turns out to be something maybe not way different, but different than what you were expecting, and it makes you even more frustrated, yeah, about the situation.
Like, I think I may have to start getting to the point where as I'm handing my car to these people, like, hey, do you guys have everything that I'm about to pay for? Like, are you guys equipped to have this when I give you this car?
That is smart. Make sure.
I'm sure that the people would love that if
I
started doing
that.
Oh, yeah.
People were,
yeah.
Are you equipped to handle my order?
I do, yeah.
Because 99% of the time, the answer is going to be, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we got it, boss.
We wouldn't have taken your order if we didn't. But, yeah, that is frustrating.
That's just, it happened to me again this weekend, and I thought to myself, I got to discuss this on Monday. It's really bothered me lately. So hopefully that can improve.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the lack of transparency when it comes to that kind of thing. I don't know if they're worried about just not getting your business or what, and they just want to get you in,
I guess,
to take the money and then just be done with it.
By the way,
but that's not going to
leave. Everything you've ordered, we're out of.
That's not going to leave like a good experience moving forward. You might get that once, but what does that do about your future endeavors there?
Yeah.
In the long term, that's not the solid business plan.
I agree.
Are they worried that if they had said, hey, we don't have that drink, that you would have just
you're
been
out,
like,
just
all right, well, I'm just going to, I'll take my business elsewhere.
I guess they could be worried about that, but. I mean, at that point, I've already committed. So just,
I really don't think, like,
just
I don't
tell me.
I would guess that in their minds, it just wasn't that big of a deal.
That's my guess.
And
I'm saying that it is.
No, and I agree. Especially before you pay, they should have said something.
Exactly.
For sure.
615-737-1025. We have people on the text line saying that I am not pompous for this. So I appreciate the self boost here, but I'm sure some people disagree with that. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans, all things NFL with him as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.